This is CliffCentral.com. All right. It's catchy, as you can hear from the number of times they say catchy in the song. This is what people do these days, is they mention their own name in the song as many times as they can.
Ah.
Offenbach versus Nick Waterhouse.
I'm going to start doing that in my sport.
Karpinski.
Just
Karpinski.
Drop it.
Please, just give us a little feel of how that would be.
It'll make it spontaneous.
Okay.
All right. Loads of things to get our teeth into this morning. Except Poloni, you don't want that. Apart from Poloni, you don't mind.
No, just even the term listeriosis sounds
just
nasty.
Just the term Poloni.
Oh, I remember when Mubs first told us about listeriosis, and if you're wondering where Mubs is, she's not in today. She told us about this stuff called listeriosis, and we didn't like the sound of it at all. And turns out that over 100 people have died. As a result of this, the outbreak has been traced to a factory in Polokwane that does processed Poloni. Mm. Horrendous.
Is it a bit of a silver lining that we know the source of it all?
I suppose they can
contain?
Yeah, I suppose they can do something about it now. But there's lots to talk about. I mentioned earlier in a story in the Five Things You Need to Know that South Africans are big borrowers and poor savers. And I wondered, like, if you are totally honest about your money, and some people are, and some people don't like to be, because being totally honest about their money means that other people are going to think something of them.
Mm-hmm. Just ignorance is bliss for some people.
Exactly. Some people just pretend nothing's wrong, and they carry on as if they have plenty of money, even if they don't. So do you manage to save?
Well, I think 2 years ago we spoke about this a lot in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you try, but then you realize, like, you need to make more money to really save properly. I mean, every bit counts, but the more you save, the more you realize you need to save more.
Mm. Well, that's it.
So,
I don't even think super rich people imagine that this is extra money that they can just put somewhere.
Mm.
Everything has every cent that you have should go somewhere, right? And I was going through, just on this note, it's very boring, but I was going through my expenses every month.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working out what I'm paying for that I shouldn't be paying for.
Yeah,
and how much is too much. I mean, I need to look at things like insurance. And I need to say to myself, where is this money better spent in terms of how can I lower my premiums? What do I absolutely need to insure? Like, let's, for example, say in your house, you've got your household contents insured, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you have everything insured, it costs you a lot of money.
Sure.
Mostly people are going to break into your house. If they do steal something, they're not going to clean out all your furniture. What they'll usually take is your electrical appliances, that kind of thing. So I started thinking about that as a possible place to save. And I thought, do I need DSTV? I keep boasting to people because I think it's quite cool. I don't watch much live TV.
Mm.
So do I need it? Probably not.
No, we've been through this. Unless you watch sports, you don't need it.
And I don't, so I don't need it.
Exactly.
Ben needs it. What else can I get rid of that I don't need? How about bringing that phone bill down? How about getting onto a package? Because you know these networks will rip you off as long as you're dumb enough to keep being ripped off. You have to go to them and say, how about you put me on a package where I just have data? Because, you know, who cares about free minutes?
Do you know anyone? 100 SMSs.
No,
needs an SMS. It's like you get 600 SMSs. Wow.
Yeah, what kind of a value add is that?
And you can't even enter competitions with those SMSs anyway.
No.
Because that's a different kind of SMS.
Oh.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Then you don't need any of that.
So I don't understand why we aren't able to just sit down, and you only have to do this once a year probably, and figure out your budget.
It's just like throwing away old clothes. You go through those expenses and see where you can trim back.
And if you go to different insurance companies, like we're dealing with one plan at the moment, remember?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about health insurance there. We're talking about other kinds of insurance. I reckon there's so many companies that are so competitive at the moment.
Sure.
They're all desperate to get your business, so they'll give you a good rate if you go to them. And whatever you're paying now, you could probably get better at some other insurance company. So do it. I know it's homework and it feels like admin, but admin is what makes people rich. Really rich people, they care about the detail. Mm. You think one day, oh, I'll have so much money one day, I won't have to worry if prices go up by 1% with VAT. But actually, the smart people are the ones who find ways to pay for that from other places.
Yeah. I'm still at that, and I'll even admit myself that it's slightly reckless, but I am at that stage in my life where I go, I think I'm saving enough. I know I could be saving more if I was more strict and diligent with my savings, but I still live with this whole thing of, sure, let's go out drinking and I'll spend money. And
but that, I mean, that's different. You've got to have some discretionary spending. You've got to be able to live. I mean, there's no point in working so that you could be rich when you're 60.
No, there's fun. Then there's if someone told me, hey, let's fly to Cape Town this afternoon.
You might
we'll
do it.
We'll go for dinner.
You
then
might
we'll
do
fly.
It?
Yeah. Stupid.
Good for you.
See, no, that's stupid.
No. Man. A lot of people would say that that's amazing, that you have that kind of adventurous spirit that you'd be able to do that. Mm. You should be able to. You shouldn't have to have a horrible life just because you're trying to be financially disciplined.
But
the whole point of having money is so that you can occasionally have fun.
But as well, you dip into your savings, which should have been just locked down.
See, I don't know. I think if it gives you real joy and satisfaction to do those things now, then that's what you're working for. But you don't want to put yourself into huge debt for it.
Yeah.
So if you've got savings and you feel that you need to spend them, and you're in your 20s, I mean, it's not as if, you know, your best earning years are still ahead of you. And I read this thing the other day that only the smallest percentage of people, and by that I mean 2 to 3% of all the super rich in the world, made their money in their 20s and 30s. Most of them make serious money in their 40s, 50s, 60s.
Wow.
Yeah. So forget being a millionaire before 40. It's not going to happen. For most people, that's impossible.
It was 2 to 3%
making money. Yeah, 2 to 3% of the super rich, not of everybody. I mean, if you are earning... There's some ridiculous figure of what the world's super rich are. But basically, if you own a piece of property, and this means, obviously, the EFF will mean for nobody to be in this category because they don't want anyone to own property. But if you own a piece of property, whether it's a commercial property, whether it's a flat, whether it's a house, whether it's a factory, whatever it might be that you own, even a blank, open piece of land, you are already in the world's top 2% of rich people.
And does this mean fully paid off or you're in the process? Okay.
So the category I'm talking about, those millionaires, so, and these are dollar millionaires in the world. And of those people, most of them made their money after 40 years old, not before. So if you're under 40 years old, don't beat yourself up. You're probably not going to be rich before you get to 40. And if you are at 40 and you're looking at this, you're going, all right, well, now's my time and you better hope it happens. And maybe it will, maybe it won't. And if you're in your 70s already, I'm sorry, it's probably too late.
No.
Very few people become millionaires in their 70s. Very few.
Play there are the lotto, try your chances there.
There are exceptions to every rule, but very few. Anyway, so I totally agree with Gareth about that name of the boss of Ascendis Healthcare, Carsten, being a douche name. Well, you know, again, you, as parents, you've got to be careful what you call your kids. Question for Ben this morning from Carl. Ben, you know how Amla, etc. won't have the castle logo on their shirt because of their religion. Do you know if they would wear a t-shirt with a castle-free logo on?
Very good question. It would be hypocritical if they didn't.
Because
there's no booze.
Alcohol, right? Yeah.
But it's an alcohol company, which they'll probably try to fight. Very interesting. Yeah, very interesting question.
See, but it makes me think of that story we brought up a while ago about
the
Cape
Muslim
Town. Yeah.
Community saying, we don't want your spring water because it comes from your beer bottles.
Mm. That's ridiculous. Spring water.
Yeah.
Anyway, Pablo says, hey, Anthea and Gareth, you keep saying we own it. How do I get in? I'm a loyal Cliff Central listener. Go to cliffcentral.com. You'll find the Money Shot page, and you'll find links to all our hashtag invest portfolios. And you must do the risk assessment so that you can figure out what kind of an investor you would be. And you can put as little as 100 Rand a month in, Babalo, and you can be, while we're talking about money, you can be an investor. You can own a piece of South Africa's most important companies. That's why we started this. If only Julius had listened to us, he wouldn't be so hung up on trying to get land, which he's not going to farm. No one wants to farm land. Are you insane? You have to be extremely brave and extremely dogged and determined to farm land. It's much easier to just buy shares in companies. Trust me. Babalo, join us on hashtag invest. and anyone else who wants to get in. So far, Anthea's done a damn fine job there, if you ask me. Good morning, guys. I just wanted to know if you also get those annoying calls from Giant Lotto, Woody. Anybody got annoying calls from Giant Lotto lately?
Yeah, you got to go to the websites and unsubscribe. Oh. It's a process.
But you used to get them?
I used to get them.
What are they selling you?
No, they always just phone you up. I mean, look, they're quite charismatic people. But they phone you up and they tell you about the fact that you haven't played in a while and the exciting opportunities still exist.
Oh.
And then it's like, ugh, no, I'm in the mood. And then they eventually say, well, you can just change the settings on this website. Like, no, why can't you do it? Well, it's a different department, sir. If you go in, no, but like, that's inconvenient. Why don't you just do it and stop calling me? Well, sir, with all due respect, that is more of a customer obligation at this stage.
Yeah.
That's how my conversations went.
Here's another question, or rather comment. It's from Eric. Eric says, I really enjoyed the last week on Cliff Central. Intelligent, mature conversation, great laughs. Now see us back.
Oh, and I just brought this standard
down. What a mean thing to say.
Love you too.
Someone says Vegas Sevens, ?
Yeah, the Blitzbox lost in the semifinals. Didn't really have much time to lament over that. So I'm sorry if you like misery. Keep going. But they do stay on top of the whole world standings, even though they finished fourth.
Someone says, does anyone know, because the Oscars just happened in LA a couple of hours ago, they might still even be going on, certainly the after parties have started, does anyone know if that snowflake Jimmy Kimmel has cried yet? Hashtag Oscars. Yeah, he's become such a pussy every time you turn on that that show, and every time I see a clip of him on YouTube, it's him fucking crying. Someone has to get a hold of Jimmy Kimmel.
Gareth, with all due respect, some of the single malts he drinks are very peaty. Oh, they really do kind of...
What happened to this guy? This guy used to host the man show. Now he should host the woman show.
Ooh.
No, he really has become an absolute pussy. And I did like Kimmel out of all the late night guys.
Out of all the Jimmies.
Yeah, out of all the 23 Jimmies that are on late night. I liked him. Because he didn't get political. Now he's this crusader against Trump. He thinks he's the nation's spokesperson on gun control. He's got a kid who's sick, who's got some kind of condition. Now he feels that medic aid is his hobby horse. I mean, get over yourself, Jimmy. When you were single and you were a guy, you were a guy's guy. People liked you. That's how you became famous. Now you. Why don't you just hand over the show to Caitlyn Jenner? At least we know what we're dealing with.
But this is the problem with getting older, though. You feel like you have to take on things to become more mature because you can't get away with the same sort of young humor.
I also just think it's everyone who's trying to go with this wave of let's seem kinder.
Yeah.
Let's roll with
no, it's virtue signaling. We've spoken about this before. We picked up on this 2.5-3 years ago. Everyone in Hollywood is on a major mission to show that they're a better person than everyone else, that they care as much, as you say, about everybody else. Mm. That they care more than anyone else. And that's what Jimmy's on. And he thinks it's going to get him ratings.
That's why I'm not really excited to watch the Oscars this year.
No. It's going to be political.
I have it recorded at home. But as well, the Oscars are long. They're like 3 hours. I'm like, no, guys.
Well, they're already saying lowest ratings that they've ever had. And that's not even Donald Trump saying it.
Has Meryl Streep said something really patronizing?
Give her a chance.
All we know is we made a good choice with one of the movies that we screened last year.
Well, Shape of Water. Actually,
The Shape of Water won Best Picture and Best Directing as well for Guillermo del Toro. So, and
Guillermo.
Oh, who now?
Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo del Toro. Sí, gracias.
Guillermo.
See, it's so weird as well. I don't know. As someone who takes the piss out of accents around the world, I discovered from this trip that I have the worst tongue. I just can't wrap my tongue and head around accents.
If you're speaking fluent Zulu or Xhosa, it's hard for people to keep up anywhere else.
Got into Asia, and I could, like, the simplest things, just say thank you, sheshe, and supposedly my inflection was in the wrong thing. So I was
and it ended up sounding like slaughter a goat.
I was told.
That's Asian languages, they're difficult like that.
Someone says, I saw this tweet over the weekend where a question was posted about land expropriation. How many people living in informal settlements or in shacks have the deeds for the property that they reside in? Why does the ANC not start by giving those citizens deeds so that they own land where their current house stands? That's Barry. Well, there are a lot of controversies around this, right? There are a lot of things that people are not saying about the land situation. I saw on News 24 this morning, and this is actually a story that might be quite shocking to some people, what some of the statistics around land in South Africa actually are. Do you want to hear them?
Okay.
Because we've been talking about this for the last week because of the ANC and the EFF's decision to pass a bill in Parliament. Apparently, black people already own more than half of all the agricultural land in at least two of South Africa's most fertile provinces, the Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal. This is according to an audit of land ownership to be released this week. Landowners who are not white own 26.7% of agricultural ground and control more than 46% of South Africa's agricultural potential. Twice as much land has been transferred to black entrepreneurs and farmers through ordinary commercial purchases than the state has managed to buy for black owners as part of its land redistribution program, the study found. These statistics are contained in a comprehensive land audit undertaken by economist Johan Bornman in partnership with magazine Landbouwweekblad and AgriSA, which, with a large donation, made it possible to obtain data about hundreds of thousands of land transactions from the deeds office as well as geographical data. So, an audit of this type, amazingly, has never been done in South Africa and is being released amid huge political pressure to increase the pace of land reform.
Gareth, you tell me the politicians are acting on feelings rather than facts?
Yes, they're acting on feelings, again making that mistake. So listen to this. In KwaZulu-Natal, 73.5% of all agricultural land is owned by black people, and that was in 2016. So by now it would probably be more. In Limpopo, 52% of land is owned by black people, agricultural land. Obviously, we're not talking about urban land here. In Mpumalanga, close to 40%. Gauteng, close to 40%. Northwest, 45.3%. And in the Eastern Cape, 48.3%. The three provinces where there is very low black ownership of agricultural land, the Free State, the Northern Cape, and the Western Cape. And remember, compared to 1994, 0% of the Western Cape, 0% of the Northern Cape, 1.6% of the Free State, 45.4% of KwaZulu-Natal, that's now clear, close to 80%, and Limpopo, 39.6%. So steadily, we've seen enormous change over the last couple of years. I think that's really interesting. People probably don't want to talk about that because it doesn't fit the political narrative.
Nope.
But there we are. There's some interesting stuff.
Exactly. This is what politicians are all about. They just want to harp on something to get a reaction, a crowd reaction, and that's it. And
yeah,
they don't really reference these facts. It was kind of not the best thing to watch as soon as I came back. But yesterday I watched a show hosted by Reedy Tlabi, and mm-hmm. Having a lot of the community. It was basically like a town hall conversation.
The big debate.
Yeah. And they were talking about women's issues and the fact that Bathabile in her new position, and none of the representatives were there. They actually stated on record that Bathabile didn't even respond to their invitation on the show, and all of these other people in positions, in high-powered positions, just said, oh, no, thank you. Sorry, no, we're busy. Oh, no, we can't make it. And the people just went out on them, saying,
oh, really?
These are the people who we entrust to help us, and the they can't even make it here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like a dinner party where you just kindly decline. No, this is part of your job. You need to decide and to explain why you've been acting in certain ways, and you can't be accountable
just
for your actions.
Like this happened elsewhere in life. You had the worst people running a company or the worst people playing sport. Like, how would this work in any other field in the world?
Well, just to prove the point, there is a story that's on India 100 this morning, the most ignorant countries in the world that have been mapped.
Yep,
so get ready. It's called The Perils of Perception 2017. It's a study by Ipsos Mori, so they're a very reputable research company. They've assessed the perception of close to 30,000 people around the world on topics concerning their nation and others. All right. The subjects include murder, suicide rates, deaths, the result of terrorism, teenage pregnancy, foreign-born prisoners, health issues, vaccination, diabetes. Other issues covered in the interviews include religion, the consumption of sugar and alcohol, and the percentage of people using Facebook and smartphones. Results showed that people in nearly all of the 38 nations that took part in the study, including us in South Africa, were ignorant of the aforementioned topics, but some were worse than others. The compiled data shows that guess which countries are the smartest and the least ignorant? They have the best idea.
Oh, Scandinavians generally win these things.
Right. They have the best idea of what's happening at home and abroad. So Denmark, Norway, and Sweden all found to be the most accurate. The Swedes came out on top. At the other end of the spectrum, the bottom three, guess who's there?
Uh-oh. I'm even scared.
Venezuela.
Close. Brazil, Philippines, and South Africa.
Yes, well, we're definitely in there.
We're right at the bottom, in fact.
Right at the bottom?
Yes, right at the bottom. We're the most ignorant country in the world, according to this survey.
Yeah, but the survey has been done by whites, though, Gareth. You can't take this seriously.
No, that's not a good enough excuse, Ben. That's just not going to work.
Well, that's what the
EFF... Yes, Ben, I'll go with that.
That's what the EFF will say, and something like that will be listened to in Parliament, that reasoning.
Look, there may be more ignorant countries, but they didn't take part in the survey. We did. So, there it is. You can look this up with Ipsos Mori and see the Perils of Perception Index, which shows that we are the most ignorant country in the world.
Well, this land thing just proves it.
And interestingly enough, it's not necessarily a correlation, but there are similarities. Whenever science and religion conflict, religion is always right. If you agree with that statement, you end up on the red side. If you disagree with that statement, you end up on the blue side. So here are some countries on the blue side, countries that say science is more right than religion most of the time.
Okay.
China, Sweden, Germany, Holland, Australia, New Zealand, Morocco, Britain, even Kazakhstan and Russia. Now the countries that would side with religion in a religion versus science battle, Algeria, Libya, Egypt, Turkey, Iraq, Oman, Yemen, Abu Dhabi, Nigeria, South Africa. Yes. Us.
What great company we are keeping.
So we really are a nation of morons. And when we see our people in Parliament making decisions, our representatives supposedly in Parliament making decisions like they have in the past 20 years, and before that, in the previous government for another 40 years, doing dumb shit, now we know why. Because we're ignorant and we're superstitious.
Just doing dumb shit.
We're doing dumb shit. We're stupid, and we're ignorant, and we're superstitious. And therefore, we will not be able to solve this problem. And part of it is because we don't educate our people properly, because we don't spend enough time putting the effort into raising our kids properly. We have kids where we shouldn't, and we send them to school hoping that Angie Mochecha will sort them out, and she can't. And we're just completing another cycle of misery in the next generation. It's really something to think about. I didn't mean to depress you first thing on a Monday. I do have better news for you coming up, but you need to know these things.
Yeah.
We're not children. We need to be treated like adults and told the truth. You're a bunch of ignorant motherfuckers. Ignorant. Vanessa says, morning. I'm not at all sure if you've spoken about the top bets Germiston story, but oh my God, how shocking. Does anyone know about this?
I will sit on the Googler.
All right.
No.
Apparently, Jimmy Kimmel said he wished he was a woman at the Oscars. I don't know the context, though. So Jimmy Kimmel is not allowed to grow up. Come on, Gareth.
Why is wanting to be a woman growing up?
That's two different messages. Watching ETV last night, they had an ad that said SMS pray to 123 blah 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 to receive a Bible quote every day. In small print, it said R3 a day. That's 90 rand a month.
That's subscription service.
That's a funeral policy for a small life policy. ETV should be taken to task for allowing those ads. Yeah. See, that's taking advantage of ignorant people again.
Ugh, I always told my dad to get into something like that, but he didn't.
Yeah.
Could have. We could have been getting how much? 90 rand?
90 rand a day.
A day.
But, sorry, 90 rand a month.
90 rand a month. Rand a day,
yeah. Jimmy Kimmel's 50?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How can we make your Cliff Central experience even more pleasurable? People are always asking me, how can we improve things here at Cliff Central? And I say, I don't know, you tell me. And then people come back with great feedback. Like, for example, the fact that they needed a way to listen when they were running, when they were on the treadmill at gym, when they're busy cooking dinner. Sometimes their phone is in their pocket. They don't want to look at their phone. They don't want to have the speaker on their phone blaring because it upsets the other people around them. So we came up with a way to disrupt another space. We've already disrupted the content game by creating audio that you know and love. And now we're making it even more convenient for you to listen to us. With the limited edition Cliff Central unwired earphones, we've created wireless earphones that connect to any smartphone or laptop or tablet for listening to podcasts, music, videos, even phone calls. With over 10 hours of battery life, a built-in microphone, 3-button controller, and an ergonomic design so it won't fall out of your ears when you're exercising. Plus, it's got brilliant sound and build quality. The Cliff Central unwired earphones are the perfect match to your favorite podcasts. You can find them on cliffcentral.com. Go and take a look. We'd like to have your reviews. You can also get them on websites like Takealot. And go and post a review, please, so that other people can hear about it. Let's spread the word. We're already selling a lot of them. I believe in the last week we've sold a few. We only launched them, on Thursday? Yeah.
I think this is so
Wednesday,
cool.
Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday last week. One of the three. And they only cost 550 Rand, which a lot of people are saying is a very reasonable price for this kind of technology.
Well, for the quality, it really is.
Yeah, so go along and take a look. Cliffcentral.com and let us know what you think of our new earphones. Please, leave a review. I don't ask you to do a lot. We don't charge for the podcasts. We don't charge for the connection for you to listen to us. Any of that money, if there is any, goes to the networks. But I would like you to leave a review, if you could. Take 2 minutes out of your day today. Leave a review and buy a pair of these things and let us know what you think. Because that's how we'll know whether we're doing the right thing for you or not. And it really is for you. All right, it's 23 minutes to 8. What else is in the news that we need to know about?
Well, going to the Top Bet Germiston story that a listener just raised, this is such a bizarre incident. But three Johannesburg women have told reporters how they and other female colleagues were strip-searched and violated at work, allegedly on the instruction of the company's management. Three clerks at gambling franchise Top Bet's Germiston branch have described how more than 20 women were forced to undress and were then physically inspected on the premises in Jan of this year. The incident, get this, was apparently sparked by the discovery of a small amount of menstrual blood in a staff toilet. So because of that, the clerks have all described how they and other female employees were questioned and accused by management of leaving this blood in the toilet. So one woman says that when nobody took responsibility for the incident, management ordered all female staff to be stripped and physically checked by cleaners to determine who was menstruating and warning that the culprit would be dealt with severely. A 52-year-old woman who spoke out said that when she arrived at a meeting called by management, her manager was shouting, accusing them of being dirty, demanding that the culprit own up.
Wow.
And she actually had to plead with her manager saying that, can I be excused because I've actually gone through menopause? How bizarre is this?
Gee, that sounds like so undignified.
I don't know. She says that she raised her hand and told her how she's gone through menopause and now they've opened up a case of sexual harassment against management. The Top Bet National Office has confirmed the incident and said it has apologized unequivocally to their staff. That doesn't solve anything, you guys.
Well,
the company also says that an independent female advocate has been appointed to conduct further investigation.
Yeah, you see, we've got a whole lot of feminist activists in this country who do great work and who are involved in a lot of situations where women are underrepresented or are represented in a much too subtle way. But this is an example of where, you know, we can get those feminist activists working. They should be out there making a noise about this. This is just gross harassment. That's what it is. No other way to put it. You line up the women and strip them and make them. I mean, to what? To check for menstrual blood? This sounds like something that you would have done in the 1600s to witches. It's just ridiculous. Very backward, very primitive, and the management of this company must own up to what the hell they're doing. It's outrageous.
I don't know. These people are just being taken advantage of, and that's...
I mean, we've got...
That's horrific.
We've got feminist activists who are out there busy trying to find words offensive. And they're trying to label certain men as being anti-progressive in terms of women's rights. But here we've got an actual situation, and they're quiet. I don't hear them bleating about this like they do about words and how words hurt them.
Where's our minister?
Where's the glass ceiling discussion all of a sudden? Because this is a real problem.
Minister of Women?
Yeah, well, Batabile Dlamini. Please, apparently she couldn't even pitch up for Ridi Tlabi's discussion about women's rights in South Africa and the right for women to at very least, bottom of all the priorities, right at the bottom of the pile, seems to be just don't get beaten up by men. And can the minister pitch? Not a chance. She's passed out drunk, despite what her communications people say.
Well, this is a prime face,
Batabile Dlamini, sitting at home, taking her salary as Minister of Women and doing nothing for women.
Well, this is a prime situation for her to step up and do something.
Nothing. Crickets. There is such hypocrisy in women's rights. Such hypocrisy. And the worst part is so much of it comes from women.
Mm.
Anyway.
Yeah, one person with the show, The Big Debate, that I was watching yesterday, actually raised up and said, with a position such as Minister of Women, and you are a woman.
Yeah.
How do you feel about yourself? Take away the fact that you're responsible to the country and in your own community. Nothing. How do you say to your neighbor, oh, I'm sorry, you know, heard that you got beat up by your husband.
And I'm the president of the ANC Women's League, but I'm just not going to let this one. I'm more interested in making sure that when he was still around, President Zuma wasn't called a misogynist. That's where I'll put my power. Well, that just shows you. Sometimes that kind of behavior is rewarded. She's been kept in cabinet by Cyril Ramaphosa, so he obviously values her. Another thing, when we're talking about these issues about real bigotry in society, we haven't really spoken about The Wound, that movie. That's been classed as porn because there's such homophobia among traditional people in South Africa. Some of the crew are actually in hiding. They can't go out in public. They made this brilliant movie. It features a young gay Xhosa man and his lover. And according to some of the traditionalists, this is unacceptable. It's not Xhosa culture. You know, being gay is some kind of ugly Western thing that never existed before. And that those people are just wrong. They've made bad life choices. And somehow this movie has been classified as porn by the Film and Publications Board, who really should not exist anymore. There shouldn't be an authority in South Africa that determines what content is and isn't acceptable. People should be able to do that
themselves.
It's an
apartheid thing.
Of course it is.
Okay, we go back to the ignorance survey.
Apparently, according to Graham, a story about gay black men is just too much for traditional Xhosa men to handle. So basic.
What's there to fear? Yeah. Too much of what?
Well, there we go. Women and gay men all being ignored in terms of South Africa's authorities.
I just don't get it. And as well, I've just kept quiet on commenting because I haven't watched the movie yet.
Yeah.
But South Africans, this is when I love you. After, you know, the movie was banned and called R-rated and porn, someone has now, I feel like I'm doing a public service announcement, someone has uploaded the movie onto YouTube. And still, to the last time that I saw it last night, I was watching a bit of it, hasn't been taken down. So let's band together, watch it on YouTube, and then we can start seeing what happens. But yeah, so far I think I've watched probably 30 minutes of it, and I'm getting right into the story.
Is it like Brokeback Mountain?
Not even. And like, it just so happens that it's gay dynamics and gay love on a mountain where these traditional Xhosa rituals take place.
Yeah,
I think it's just such a knee-jerk reaction for board who should be factoring all sides and viewpoints.
They will do what their masters want them to do. And obviously there are a couple of people in society who have control over people on these boards, and they're making it very clear that they are not into equal opportunity. They're not into cutting down discrimination wherever they can. It's outrageous. The Film and Publication Board should be dissolved. They're an embarrassment. That's my opinion. While we're talking about opinions, there's a lot of people talking about the listeriosis outbreak and the polony, poverty ham, and here it is. Here's an old clip that you may remember. Two dudes.
I hear you cry, you don't eat ibok. I know you don't want ibalon in your bread. You don't have to eat balons. I've got cheese right here for you. You don't have to eat balon. Yeah, 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 yeah. I've got cheese right here for you. You don't have to eat balone.
So you shouldn't eat balone.
I've got cheese right here for you. You don't have to eat balone. Balone, 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 balone. You don't have to eat balone.
Very nice. There we go.
And that's what will be stuck in your head today.
Wait, bro, no, wait.
You don't have to eat my lung.
It's okay, wasabi. I've got cheese right here for you.
Are you looking for a music podcast with a twist? You can catch the O'Neill Africa Experience right here on cliffcentral.com, unlocked by Castle Light. Just Six and True Verb Music astounded a live audience 2 weeks ago at the Lifestyle Home Garden Center, where they performed a cappella. What a band. In the latest episode of the O'Neill Africa Experience, and you can download last week's O'Neill Africa Experience too, the podcast is available on cliffcentral.com. Anywhere you get your podcasts, if you don't like our app or you don't like our website, that's fine. I'm not upset. Just go and get the content from another one. You may use any number of apps. I'm happy with it. Just get the content. We don't care. Plus, don't forget that Castle Light are bringing you award-winning artist Chance the Rapper. That's the exhilarating extra cold experience. It all happens on the 30th of April at the Ticket Pro Dome. You do not want to miss this Castle Light Unlocks exclusive. Get your tickets now at CompuTicket.
Counting down.
That's right. Okay.
Do you want at least something interesting, some lighthearted news?
Let me just let everybody know. The burning platform moved around while Justice was moving around. He's back on Thursday. So we'll be back to the normal burning platform with Justice Malala on Thursday. I know a lot of people are very frustrated by that. Can't be helped, you know. People are busy.
Yeah. He's been in the States.
Right, exactly. He's been all over the world. And what a couple of weeks it's been. We've been lucky to even have Justice in once in the last 3 weeks because he's been so busy. But Rich Mulholland is still on a Monday at 7:45. He's just not here this week. And Justice returns to Thursday. Just a bit of housekeeping for you. Back to you, Sia.
Yes. Well, this sort of just speaks to, along with how ignorant we are, this is another twist on what sort of society we live in.
Yeah.
Think about this. There's a new app that's just launched in the UK that aims to tackle our smartphone addictions. Let's be honest.
Oh, okay.
We are addicted to these things.
How does it work?
Also, by appealing to our love for free stuff. So the app is called Hold, which is currently only available to students, and it rewards the user by giving them free food at the cinema, for example, money off drinks, and even free coffee. So the way in which it works, between the hours of 7 a.m. and 11 p.m., so far students can earn 10 points for every 20-minute stretch that they can go without looking at their phones.
I did this on Saturday. I left my phone charging, mm-hmm. and for about 3 or 4 hours, I didn't have my phone with me. And you know what I missed out on? Nothing.
But then here's the catch. While you had your phone charging, were you not viewing Facebook on a computer elsewhere, or Twitter on your laptop?
He's got a tablet in his garden he sneaks off to.
No.
See, that's what everyone says, I'm not at my phone.
Do you know what I did? I was talking to someone. I had a proper conversation for a whole 3 hours, probably, without looking at my phone once. It was a fully satisfying conversation that I was actually focused on and paying attention to. I didn't look at my watch, even though it's linked to my phone, mm-hmm. once.
Do you get notifications on your watch?
I do, but it was too far away, you see, to be able to connect. So I didn't even look at that. So I was completely without my phone for 3 hours on Saturday. You know what? No one died.
Yeah.
Nothing bad happened. I didn't have to like everything. I didn't miss any statuses that are so blessed.
Hashtag blessed.
I didn't see anyone's Instagram pictures where they just looked fantastic and loved their life.
Yeah.
I didn't have any of that shit. And my life was fine. I got back to my phone afterwards. I didn't feel like it was a reunion, that I'd been away. There was no connection. In fact, I still believe there are a lot of people in the world who manage to do this this tech detox, where they go away and they put their phone away and they don't look at it for a whole period of a week, maybe even more.
Ooh.
You've got to be able to do it. It's like being able to not drink or not take drugs or not smoke a cigarette or not gamble or not have sex. You've got to be able to switch those things off to have true control.
I think I could, but it just wouldn't make life convenient.
You don't have to do it all the time.
Yeah, but Gareth, how do you tell people about this?
Do it on social media.
How do I tell people that I'm having a bad day?
How do you tell people the fact that you're not on social media? Because you want to share such a thing.
No,
so it's catch 22.
Nah.
But I've had such a great breakfast and I need to take a picture.
Can I tell you something? Just for a while, try not to message the five people who you want to talk to this week and see if they even notice. See if it even matters. All those people that are so important that you have to talk to the whole time. Instead of them messaging you, I mean, instead of you messaging them, let them message you and see how busy your phone is. Go on. Let's see what happens.
I literally just want to show you this because, as well, while I was away, I'm thinking, who would miss me the most?
And who missed you?
I thought, oh, my mother would miss me the most.
Yes.
So I got to a point in the holiday and I took this picture holding up a sign.
Sia's looking, first of all, great background.
Yes. If I do say so myself.
Sia's got lush vegetation in the background and he's holding up a heart that says, Mom, I'm fine.
So sweet, right?
Yeah.
And I sent it to my mother thinking, oh, yes, she misses me. This is her response in low caps even.
Okay, I can see.
Yeah. She's just good and
okay,
care.
I can see.
She's like, yeah, whatever. I don't
She's
care
not like,
about you.
That's so sweet, Sia. Thanks for letting me know. I was thinking about you. She's like, okay, I can see. It
so
says on the heart. Yeah.
I think, like, actually the top five people, I can go without messaging people because they don't care.
All right. Just quickly before we wrap up the morning and get to our interview for today. Trade and Industry Minister Rob Davies is looking for permission from Cabinet to pass legislation. Now, this Rob Davies, he's the most slovenly man you've ever seen in your life. He walks around like he's just got out of bed. He's our Trade and Industry Minister, all right? He wants to do... Listen to what he wants to do. What he's about to do is cut more than 1,500 direct jobs and more than 1.2 billion rand in revenue from the country's economy. So already it sounds like a bad idea. Listen to this. The Liquor Amendment Bill proposes the restriction or even a total ban of alcohol advertising to try and stop alcohol abuse. I thought this was the Minister of Health's thing, but it turns out it's Rob Davies' thing, which makes me very suspicious about Rob Davies. He's probably got a drinking problem. The Trade and Industry Department commissioned an independent study of the bill. Conducted by a research consultant from Genesis Analytics, the study showed that even though some of the proposals in the bill might have limited health and social benefits in reducing alcohol harm, the negative consequences of the bill are significant. The study projects a loss of 1,500 jobs in the alcohol industry, a loss of 400 million in revenue for advertising, and a combined 800 million loss for the SABC, ETV, and MultiChoice. The bill proposes increasing the legal drinking age from 18 to 21, as if that's going to stop the problem, supposedly to try and curb the issue of underage drinking. What has stunned most legal experts even more is the provision in the bill that holds owners or suppliers of alcoholic brands liable for damages caused by an intoxicated person. So when Judge Motata drives through a wall, instead of suing Judge Motata for the damage to your wall, you'll sue breweries. But now we have to find out what Judge Motata drank. So we'll have to do not just a blood alcohol thing. We'll have to see if it was beer. If it was beer, was it a Distell beer? Was it an SAB beer? Was it an Anheuser-Busch beer?
That's the stupidest was thing
it
I've
a,
heard.
Was it a product from Pernod Ricard? This is the most stupid thing I've ever heard. These government ministers need their heads pulled out of their asses. Why are there still so many shit ministers in Cyril's cabinet? Does he like wallowing through shit?
But Gareth, you know what solves things like alcohol abuse and this kind of stuff? A better society. So give people more jobs. They won't be such depressed drunks. Give people more opportunities. Give them greater security. Give them more to live for. And they will stop being depressed drunks.
Keep going, Ben. I like where you're going.
Think about that. These dickheads, because they can never think about a big picture. They've got to look at these little things they can say, which then goes makes their boss think they're doing their job. Oh, how can I? I'm not an intellectual person. I make memes and talk about sport, and I can work this out. It's just beyond stupid. If a society works, everything will then step up. People are unemployed, they'll drink. You can drink 18 or 21. Same bloody thing.
When did you start drinking?
I think I first vomited at 15. Well, when you first drink, yes, when you vomit. Dark rum.
So, yeah.
My first taste of alcohol was at 16, but I didn't start drinking a lot up until I was probably 19.
For some ungodly reason, both my parents don't drink. That's not the ungodly reason. For some ungodly reason, I only got drunk for the first time at age 22.
Ooh.
I never had been drunk before then. I didn't think it was virtuous to not be drinking.
It's just never your
it
thing.
It just wasn't my thing.
And now you've made up for
I
it.
I don't smoke cigarettes. It had nothing to do with Minister Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma at the time banning tobacco advertising. I thought those ads were awesome. I loved tobacco ads.
Me too, and I never smoke cigarettes.
Jesus. What a stupid... Why do government ministers think they can engineer society? I'm going to play a cigarette ad to feel better. Can I do that?
Sure.
Here's a cigarette ad, because we can do what we want on the internet. We don't have to follow these dumb rules.
Power on, out of the corner, and feel the front wash away. You're close to the things men rate great, like Gunston Toasted. Gunston cigarettes are made from the best tobaccos a man can get.
Yeah.
For that rich, rewarding, toasted taste. Get closer to flavor with Gunston Toasted.
Right. Here's another one. With chicks in bikinis and the Concorde.
Oh.
And people skiing and people on yachts. Girls with big tits. And cigarettes. And alcohol. Take that, you Puritans. Bring us some cigarette advertising. God help us. We could have that back. Right. I love the music.
Ooh.
You know how expensive these ads were?
Get away, do it all. Chase an island to some faraway shore. Play the seas of Apollo.
Right.
Sail the winds with the Sky Riders. Or make waves down under. Come along and spend a day in another century.
Yeah. Dun, dun. How's that?
Shed your yesterdays on a green sea of floating grass. It's fun. It's fabulous. It's fast.
Do you believe them?
Sure.
Believe them more than you believe the government, right?
After the snow is over, catch the freestylers on the downhill run with a magnum of après-ski fun.
Doesn't it sound good? That's the life.
Look in on New York. Feel the Big Apple beat.
Ah. All you need is a cigarette.
And the wild 90s saxophone.
Yes, absolutely.
You can never control that saxophone.
This is John Player Special, those cigarettes that came in a black box. And they've got Formula One in their ass.
Yes. John Player car.
Right.
Neste fim de semana, o desafio continua. A emoção recomeça.
And this was Ayrton Senna in a Brazilian ad for John Player Special.
John Player Special. Sabor e emoção.
Yeah!
The burst a man can get.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's Gillette, but yeah, close enough.
You heard it somewhere in the cigarette ad.
And what was the one that went, that's the one? Who was that? Whose tagline was that? Was it Gunston? Winston? Winston, that's the one. Yes, that's what we need. More of that and less government. It's not even a competition. I'd much rather be in a cigarette ad than be in cabinet.
Never girls with big boobs. You'd like that.
Yes. All of those things.
only reason.
Outrageous. All right, well, we're done for the morning, and I hope you're ready to start your day. Hopefully you've got all the information that you need to kick it into high gear. We will return tomorrow, bright and early, at 6 a.m. to give you the latest in the news, opinion, things you need to know, finance, sport, everything, including a little bit of positivity, thanks to Sia now that he's back. Let's get your day going, shall we? Coming up, a discussion I had with Christian Kurtz.
This is CliffCentral.com.